On this episode of Life Below Zero.
This is gonna collapse on me. This whole shelf is moving.
Mother Nature wreaks havoc on plans in the Alaska bush.
I just wanna get my boat back before it ends up down in circle.
A scout into the tundra brings unexpected dangers.
Is it possible that it comes down and kills me? Absolutely.
Costly mistakes must be paid for.
This boat that I lost last night is critical to everything I'm doing this summer.
The quest for food is a life and death struggle. Ooh. And simple chores turn into desperate missions.
I'll come back with 5 poles.
She ain't gonna be happy.
The Yukon River is our highway in the summer months. I use boats every day on the Yukon. I do a lot of freighting, large loads, unorthodox loads. Having boats to work with is critical to the way we live down here.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
Unbelievable. I just came down here and my boat that had a tank of water in it is in here. It looked like the stake pulled out and it drifted off, is what it looks like to me. And so I gotta go track down a boat.
With currents ripping through at up to 10 miles per hour, the boat could be anywhere along the vast Yukon.
I just want to get downriver so I can get my boat back up here before it ends up down in circle. Could be 100 miles downriver at this point. I don't know when it got lost or when it came out. So, Kate, where's Iceberg?
I don't know.
Iceberg! Iceberg, come! Up, up. Good boy. I don't know when I'll be back, Pete.
I know. Good luck.
I'm hoping it got caught in an eddy, but I have no idea.
Hey, I love you. Try not to get too worked up. You'll find it.
My heart breaks for him, honest to God. It seems like every single time we have something to do, things backfire. Like something else comes up. Something breaks. You gotta fix it. You gotta do 20 steps before you can get to the original one. Losing that boat and the huge water tank is a lot of money. Going to look for it is a lot of time. Money and time are two things we just don't have enough of.
The last time this happened, my boat drifted almost 70 miles downriver. That was on a windy day when I would have expected the wind to ground it on the shoreline. It wasn't windy at all last night, so I have no idea how far this boat can drift before it's going to go aground.
Not only is the boat worth thousands of dollars, it's also carrying 300 gallons of fresh water that Andy collected from a creek just yesterday.
In the wintertime, the Yukon River flows clear under the ice, and so we're able to drill holes, scoop out water, and haul it up to the house with buckets. However, in the summertime, a great deal of silt comes out of the glacial streams from the mountain range, and that puts a tremendous volume of silt into the Yukon. Right now, there's about 2.2 tons of silt going by per second, so it makes the water unpotable for human drinking. That forces us to go upriver and get clear water out of a clear stream. If I don't have that boat, water doesn't get hauled, my gravel doesn't get hauled, my house doesn't get built. So it's a pretty essential part of my whole plan for the summer. I can't afford to lose a boat.
It's really hungry country up here.
Especially in the summer.
Not a lot to eat when the caribou aren't around.
Summer is really the hardest time of the year for me living out here because you can't really live off the country as easily as you can the rest of the year. In the winter, it can be a lot easier. You can shoot 5 caribou in one day, and I'm all set for 5 months. At this time of year, there are no caribou around. There's no trapping in the summer. There's no big game hunting in the summer. And even if it were, I could never process that much meat fast enough before maggots had eaten it up. There are things that you can get out here for food, like fish is one, but it's a lot more labor intensive. You can spend as much energy in half a dozen fish out here as you can spend getting 1 caribou. And those half a dozen fish will be gone in 2 days, and that caribou will last a month. I only want to catch a few fish at a time in order to just eat fresh. I don't want to get into drying fish or trying to preserve them. In the summertime, it's a lot harder to preserve food out here. So you're out there at least every couple days looking for something to eat. I'm running low on food, and I haven't eaten yet today, so I'm going to go out looking for some grayling in a creek that flows out of the lake here. It's close to camp, so when I'm looking for something to eat this time of year, that's one of the first places I'll go. The mosquitoes make everything more difficult, just about every job you do. Anything you want to do with your hands, you can't wear gloves. Mosquitoes all over you.
Got about 15 mosquitoes one swat.
You gotta urinate, got mosquitoes biting you. I don't like to use insect repellent. I don't like putting that chemical on me every day. But you can cover up, but it's hot. You don't want to be wearing long sleeves today. If it wasn't for these mosquitoes, I'd be running around naked. It's all part of nature. Gotta live with it. But it's no fun.
We basically use the knowledge that people around here have had the last 10,000 years, and we make a good living.
Pass me the anchor. This is what's going to hold the whole net out there.
Every year, the Hailstones head to their camp 26 miles west of Norvik to stock up enough fish to survive the brutal months ahead.
We're here at the lower camp. This is where we usually come and put our whitefish nets at this time of the year.
Right now, while I'm doing the fishing, Chip's out getting poles, looking for firewood. When he comes back with a load of wood, then he'll put me up a fish rack.
We're going to leave the two little girls right here to watch us do this. It is going to be driving, and it's pretty much just going in reverse, so she's going to practice her reversing skills. Hey, Edie? Mm-hmm.
In traditional Inupiat villages, women are in charge of the fishing.
Needs to be done.
It's crucial that Agnes's daughters learn this skill if they are to survive this way of life.
It's important for me to continue the subsistence living in the traditional ways with my daughters.
Edie, look. You see that sandbar right there? Just try to aim toward that sandbar. Stop, Edie's book turns.
Just watch where you're going, watch where you're going.
You gotta make it real tight so the anchor will hook when I let it go. Straight there. And when you let go of your anchor, you make sure your anchor's like this and not gonna get caught to nothing and let it go. Oh yeah. Watch it sink. Forward, Diddy. If we make sure our net is set perfectly, we'll have more advantage and more fish. Stop already, bun. Stop. Turn it off. Just turn it completely off.
Should I pull up my motor?
Yes. Watch out for that lever. That's why we need you to drive. You're strong enough to pull it up. Here. No, give me that. Oh, and make sure it's not tangled to the bottom. Oh, I feel something.
Fish! Yes.
Oh, two of them. Three of them. Pike. Oh, whoa. Definitely gonna need a real big fish rack.
There's only boundaries on who I am when I set them. True to my nature, I thrive on challenge. I thrive on the diversity that life throws at me. All remote people look forward to the sun coming back in spring. But the minute that the snow melts and opens things up for us, we're consumed with the need to get ready for the following winter. This year is a little bit different for me because I'm building a new building for myself, no longer in the corner of the dining hall. I'm getting my own living space. I'm a month and a half away from being 10, 20 below zero again. The time bomb is ticking. So now I need to take off my final chores before it gets nasty again. There's a lot of fear associated with the building. I have no visual reference here, yet I know from experience the Predators are going to come up out of the riverbank and sneak across the tundra and hit the first thing. Unfortunately, that's me.
Sue's primary defense is her sight. Her survival depends on being able to see all predators before it's too late.
I really need to focus on visibility, so I need to put windows in the building. If you can't see what's coming at you, you're not going to know till it comes through the wall. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt and the coffee mug. I don't want that again. That's where the window's going. We need the other ladder. I've been attacked before. I've had them come through the wall before, and it's an uncomfortable feeling. I'm very visual, so it was a vi- You got eyeballs? Dark shadow, dark shape that I'm not used to seeing on my horizon. I gotta get up, gain elevation, and look at it with my eyeballs to see if it's a dangerous shadow or just a new bush. You got eyeballs? Dark shadow, dark shape that I'm not used to seeing on my horizon. I gotta get up, gain elevation, and look at it with my eyeballs to see if it's a dangerous shadow or just a new bush. What I'm hoping for is caribou.
Any opportunity for fresh meat is critical, since Sue's nearest grocery store is almost 500 miles away.
I hunt for the meat that I eat. My migration of caribou got busted up. They may not come back through in the fall. So potentially my meat supply may never make it. I may have a year where I don't get squat.
All I can tell is I've got a new dark shadow. One's a bush, right beyond it is another one that shouldn't be there. I mean, it's natural. It has a right to be wherever the hell it wants. But that doesn't mean I want it up in my grill. It's a few miles off. I don't think it's a bear, not that big. Could be a caribou.
The area I need to go in is a couple miles away. So when I go out, I'm going to go prepared with the gun to shoot something if I have to defend myself or there's a caribou for meat. I got bullets, knives. I don't know what I'm going to run into, but something's going to die. Something needs to get in my freezer. Natural tendency, if it is a caribou, get out of the bugs, get safe, is into the river bed. So I'm gonna go through here by the river, see if I see any prints. And you can see right here on the other side of this brush, caught my eye, some caribou prints. They're pretty fresh. It's not 5 minutes ago, but definitely since this morning. Could have been the shape I saw earlier. I'm still headed to see exactly what I can find. You just never know, but you gotta be prepared for anything.
A lot of times you don't have exactly what you want out here, but you get by with what you can get from nature. It's always a matter of economy out here. You're trying to get food with the least expenditure of energy. Found a spot where there could be some grayling, so I'm just gonna cast into here and see if I catch a fish. I don't see any fish yet. When the mosquitoes just get to be too crazy out here, I have to look at the world through a net. Try not to use it more than I have to. Ooh, something hit it. Got off though, try again. A lot of people think because you're out in the wilderness, there's no problem finding animals. But way up here in these mountains, it's really hungry country. The life up here is just spread really thin over the land, so you have to look a long ways to find something to eat. Didn't find any grayling in there. This time of year, I might not eat until I catch a fish. Some years, there are quite a few grayling in here, but you just can't count on it. Summer's is a hard time to find food out here. This looks like a promising spot. Try again. I definitely need to try and get some food tonight. Right down in there, there's a fish. It's hard to see with this head net on, so I'm gonna take it off even though the mosquitoes are all around me. Getting eaten up by the mosquitoes out here. We'll try again. Lost sight of him. We'll try again. If I went downstream far enough, there'd be a much better chance that I could find some grayling. But it's a long walk, and it might be more economical for me to look for some fish in the lake.
We're miles beyond the end of the road, but if you don't kill something or you don't catch something, you'll have nothing.
Is back at camp right now, and she's cutting up whitefish, and I would have to go scout out some wood. Make sure that we can cut it up and throw it in the river and get it down to where we want to go.
This is really good wood area here. This is the last of our breakup ice. It's all busted up, and this was put here during the flood and left behind. There's a lot of logs here. It's in kind of a small area. We'll be able to chuck out all the wood we can into the river, tie them together, and take them down as a raft.
Well, wood's important, you know, when you live a subsistence life and you're using the materials and stuff from the land. We use trees for poles. We use them for fish racks. We use them for harpoons. We build sleds. You can build a boat. Wood right here can heat your house. If you ain't got heat, you ain't got life.
And since I came up here to look for wood, and I'm also not supposed to go back until I've got my wife some fish rack poles. It's a necessary part of drying fish.
I just want to have enough racks to make sure my summer haul is gonna be nice and dry. If not, that'll just make a total waste.
Oh, I'm looking for long, thin poles that are light, hopefully dried up. If you have big, round poles, then you end up with a lot of the meat touching the pole and it doesn't dry. So you want them as thin as possible. The kind of stuff I'm looking for, though, this is a little long and a little large. I don't know, this one's busted in the middle. Pole. So we'll head back to the boat. I don't see any more poles.
The wife said don't come back without poles. That's too big of a pole. Ah, I'm just gonna run up and grab that pole since I got the hip waders on.
You too short. She said five poles. Well, come back with five poles. She ain't gonna be happy. You too short. She said five poles. Well, come back with five poles. She ain't gonna be happy.
I just want a pole. The ice busts them up, though. Most all the ones I've come across are folded up, cracked in the middle. Great firewood. Lousy poles.
This is way too big. Pole. Wait, there might be one back here.
This will be a drying pole for today. Nice, light, and dry. I can't give the woman a perfect deal yet, but we'll get her there. Ah, pole! Genuine pole! Pretty long and crooked.
you one more pull.
We got the 5 pulls, so I can safely return to camp.
Eddie, when you scale them, you can try to make sure you take as much scale off, especially from the stomach part too, because that's where most of the fat is. Eddie's learning the way to cut fish. It's good that they know how to cut fish. In case I can't cut the fish, all our food won't be ruined or wasted.
Ah, the fish cutters. How's fish cutting going?
We've done all the pike.
Yeah.
We've done the whitefish.
You get a tub of whitefish for sure. Well, I didn't exactly have the best choice of poles, but I brought you back 5 doables. All right. This is totally ad hoc. This is just make and do, okay? This isn't like a permanent rack.
Whatever it takes. I'm happy. This will last us for like a week, 2 or 3 more days of this. Then I should be done with my white fishing.
That's part of living out in the bush. You have to adapt to whatever Mother Nature throws. And you try and stay a step ahead of her, but most of the time you're playing catch up.
This boat that I lost last night is critical to everything I'm doing this summer.
Andy's on the search for a $10,000 boat that's gone adrift with his fresh water supply somewhere in the vast Yukon. He's got to find it before his fuel runs out.
I've got a million projects I'm trying to get done right now, and I've got my schedules lined out on what I want to do on what days, and when something like this unexpected comes up that I hadn't planned on, it creates a lot of stress and a lot of frustration for me. Well, that's a life along the river. It happens. You gotta deal with it.
Switching gas tanks. Each tank of gas is 5 gallons at about $5.50 to $6 a gallon. By the time I get it down to me, it's probably about $7 a gallon. Depending on how far downriver this boat goes, this is going to be a fairly expensive trip for someone who doesn't have a lot of money to spend on this kind of stuff. I'm a little irritated that I got to spend this time today of basically killing this day and a whole bunch of fuel to go get a boat.
Feeling a little bummed out at myself for not checking it before I went to bed last night.
Without it, I don't know what I'll do. I'm a little irritated that I got to spend this time today of basically killing this day and a whole bunch of fuel to go get a boat.
Feeling a little bummed out at myself for not checking it before I went to bed last night.
Without it, I don't know what I'll do.
Hey, it looks like I might see it up ahead here, 2 miles off. Against the bank. Beach kind of looks like it from here.
Looks like if current pushed it into this slough.
Navigating the shallows of the Yukon is a difficult challenge. One miscalculation, and Andy could lose both boats.
It's pretty shallow in there where it's grounded.
My biggest problem now is going to be if I can get my big boat here into where that boat is.
Well, I don't want to hit bottom with my prop too much because, A, I don't have a second prop with me right now. And, B, it's expensive.
I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get into it with this boat or not.
Look at that. My weight coming in just moved the boat again.
It's going down into the shallows. Every day you're out here, you got to adapt to something new.
Good. It's an endless progression of problem solving, compromising, MacGyvering things together there all the time.
That's life in the Alaska bush. Adapt. The first thing I'm going to have to do is pump this tank dry to lighten that boat up and make it a shallower draft so I can line it back up the slough here.
The boat is carrying 300 gallons of fresh water, an essential resource. But in order to pull the boat from the shallows, Andy will have to dump it all.
The challenge here is how do I get both of these boats back out of this shallow area over to the Yukon. I've got about 100 yards of really shallow water between me and where the Yukon's flowing. It's a hard rock bottom that'll really mess up my prop if I touch bottom. And if you don't get your prop in very far, you don't have much pulling power. So it's going to be a bit of a challenge to figure out how to get this out. I might have to just tie a rope to my big boat. Once I get going out away from the shallow area here, I should be able to get enough line to hook onto this one and tow it out.
In the summer, I have to concentrate more on smaller animals that I can eat up in a shorter time, so preservation's not such a big issue. I don't have much food left. So I'm getting all set up to go out and try to catch pike over on the other side of the lake. I'm gonna go a little over a mile to where I'm gonna fish today. Pike travel in different areas at different times of the year. And right now, I'm hoping that they're gonna be in an area where they have spawned in the past. And see if I spot any fish. I don't know for sure what. I'm way up here in the mountains. There are not large numbers of fish up here the way there are when you're living closer to the coast or on bigger rivers. This lake is really isolated. There's certain times and places where you can find things to eat. You gotta really keep track of what's going on in nature. It's just if you just go around random looking for something to eat, you're gonna starve to death. This looks like a good pikey place to me. Too far. Got it right in the weeds. Need my weedless hook today. Pike like the weeds. And unfortunately, my favorite lure for this kind of fishing is broken. So I collect more weeds than I want to, but a fish. There, now he's hooked. Crazy. I never had a pike get off the hook and then grab him with my bare hand and throw him back in a boat. Its heart's still beating. That's why before I do anything, I'm gonna secure this fish. It'd be nothing worse than having him get away now. I got a little tool here made of a piece of bone. It helps you to stick this string through their mouth without getting bit. They have some really sharp teeth for grabbing onto stuff. I got him tied here, and you keep him in the water, just keep him cool. That's a couple meals for me right there. And I'm gonna get more than just the meat out of them too. I'm gonna eat other parts. Usually once you have a big scene like that, it kind of messes up the fishing. And that's probably all the action we're gonna get out of that spot. But we did well today. I'm gonna head back to my camp now. We got Plenty of fish for dinner, that's for sure.
We take it as it comes. We're opportunists, and we'll see what opportunity brings to us.
Plan today is to get more of this fuel. This right here is heat, and it's light, and it's cooking power. This is another part of essence of subsistence. If you can harvest wood, you can get by.
The motor's warmed up. You ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's go.
We'll get some wood.
Get some wood.
I need to have my kids learn. I need my kids to know how to do this themselves. And we do it as a family, so we have a lot of fun doing things together.
And we tell them all the time that it's the small details that count that add up to the really nice stuff.
How about we go start out in this little slough over here? It's packed with wood. Look out, babe. You could go get some rope and go put a loop of rope, tie it nice and tight, and then have it ready for the next one that we put on. It must be.
When you go around it twice, it gets under pressure, it'll tighten. It'll grip them better. And raise the next one. And all we have to do after we get this front one done is just keep tying logs into a long trail.
Oh, we're doing real good, girls. You're working as hard as we are. That's what matters. We all work together, we get done quicker.
I don't want my kids dependent on anything other than themselves.
And if they can become heat independent,
that's right,
and they know how to get wood at different times of years and the different ways of getting it, they're all the better off. You think Agnes looking good?
Yep.
A couple months worth of firewood easily.
Yep.
This is gonna be a good enough raft here, so shall we head home? What I've got here is a whole bunch of firewood. It's gonna get us through the summer. We have enough dry wood at the house to get us through till this all dries out, so it's all good. And my daughters have learned something, learned where to pick the woods, the places where the wood gets trapped. They've learned the area around this area so that they can get stuff themselves someday. Firewood for the summer costs us $20 in gas and 7 hours of our time. This is probably $2,000 for the heat, easily. And that is excellent.
We've got money in the bank with this stuff.
Being out here, I may die at any moment. There's a million natural disasters waiting to swallow you up and spit out your bones.
We're close to the area where I saw the caribou shadows, but I'm not seeing anything right now.
It's very disconcerting. The caribou are not here, and my fuel is being wasted.
Gas costs Sue nearly $20 a gallon. It's a resource she can't afford to waste.
There's a little coal seam that, as long as it's still exposed, I can maybe go and get a little coal. It's alternative energy. It's another natural resource I can use for my own survival. I'm betting my bottom dollar it is worth it for me to get over there. The only way I can do that, cross some ice cold water. I want to see if there's some coal. I'm really happy I found it. I'm happy to be here. But You can look right up there. That's a big ice ledge. You got, I don't know, 100 tons or more of ice hanging over my head that's wanting to let gravity send it into the river. The sun's out, it's melting fast. And is it possible that it comes down and kills me? Absolutely. But when I chose to be out here, I chose to accept that I'm gonna meet some really strange freaking end. But right up until the point that it does mac me, I'm gonna be here trying to eke out a living. There's any number of things that might cause my demise out here. I break myself, I make a poor decision. It will happen, it won't be scripted, I won't see it coming, and it'll suck. So I'm kinda out of time here. I mean, it's a beautiful, rich area, but for right now, I wanna get the hell out of this section, because it will go, and I'd rather it didn't take me with it. It was a good day. I didn't get to shoot at a caribou, but when one door closes, another opens, I got cold. And it's time for me to start heading back to the barn. Whoa, 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 what's that? And that's exactly why I pack for everything, because you don't know when it's going to crop up. Whoa, 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 what's that? A squirrel. Got it. Hadn't gone out intentionally seeking a squirrel, but opportunity knocks. You gotta be ready to answer the door. There he is. One fat little mamma jamma. He goes in the freezer. The caribou haven't come in. I haven't gotten any big game, so I'm concerned about filling up my freezer.
Winter for me is 280 days totally alone. There is no grocery store that I can say, oh, I'm running low on milk. What I need to do now is concentrate on small game. Right now, squirrel is on the menu.
The fur is not real good this time of year for making things, but I'll skin them out and put them in the freezy for some of my winter meat supply. So, meat in the freezer, coal in the stove. Good day. Booyah! Come on. You want your little snacks? Come on. You know what you get. You didn't help me flush this one, little buddy. But you can have the leftovers. I have little foxes that are completely wild, but like to come up and be my buddies.
They are my social world, but I never lose sight that they're still a predator, and I respect that.
I am conscientious about the animals. This little thing, you know, it's just trying to eke out a living on the tundra like I am, and it gave up its life. I don't take that very lightly. Wait your turn. You can have the whole middle and the guts. How's that? Squirrel is one of their mainstays. Same with a bear. They love these things. And they are tasty little suckers. You want this? You want that? There you go. I am taking out his intestines, and he's done. You get one or two of these guys and you put them in a pot with some taters and some carrots and you got a nice little squirrel stew. Well, I got a good bag of coal. I got a nice little squirrel for my small game stash. This is an awesome freaking day.
Every day you have to adapt your plans and you have to have a plan A and a plan B because oftentimes plan A doesn't work.
Good.
I got my boat back. This boat's absolutely critical to me in the summertime. Pretty important piece of equipment not to be losing. I almost always tie my boats up with two lines. Just didn't do it last night, and I'm paying the price. I'm a long ways from home right now. Really need to get back home so I can get back onto my projects, get back to work. Bit frustrating, but all in a day, I guess.
Victory!
Well, I only had to go 40 miles. I don't know if it was the wind or something that pushed it down into one of the sloughs there.
Well, I think we should buy a lottery ticket.
It's one of the things that happens out here. You live along a river and stuff's gonna happen. I've got a number of boats down here, and sooner or later something's gonna happen to one or two of them.
Well, that was a bit of drama we didn't need today.
Just too tired last night to put a second rope on it. Just didn't think about it.
Well, you will next time.
Oh, I will from now on, I guarantee it, every boat.
Well, darling, just think on the sunny side. You know, you got your boat back. It could have been a really bad day.
It was just one of those screw-ups that happens. I lost some money and fuel in the day of my time. But worse things could have happened. So all in all, I'm feeling pretty good now. I can assure you I have two lines on it right now.
Most people don't butcher animals, and that's kind of weird to me now. The idea that you wouldn't know what intestines look like. I was running low on food, so I'm actually really excited to eat this fish. Now I got food for a couple of days. This pike is a lean fish. If you're eating just meat and fat, about 70% of your calories have to come from fat, or you won't feel well. But we'll get what fat is in it by utilizing parts of the fish that a lot of people might throw away. There's some fat, see, on the stomach. The heart still beating. That's common. Pike hearts beat for hours after you take them out of a pike. The fish has already spawned, so it doesn't have a lot of eggs. Take out a few eggs are in there. This is the esophagus right here. I'm gonna eat the spleen today. Nice pike liver. People who have a job earn money to buy food, to buy their house. My house costs next to nothing. My food, I get here just without paying cash for it. I live a subsistence lifestyle. That's how I get the things I need to live from the local resources. A lot of my energy goes into getting food out here, but I'm not out working for a paycheck every day. And I like this a lot better than sitting in an office. Pike liver. It's really tasty. It's a lot different from caribou liver or porcupine liver. It's even different from a whitefish liver. Every animal's got its own flavors.